Welcome everybody. Welcome to the season two of Pipeline Pioneers, where our goal, if you guys remember from last year, our goal is to help the community figure out how to generate a pipeline, how to generate a pipeline that ultimately closes to revenue, to business. Today, I'm excited to have James as a repeat guest on this podcast. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so happy to be a repeat guest back here. You know, I really appreciate what you've been able to give back to the community and super thankful to talk about this. As I was preparing, I was thinking, wow, what has changed since the last time we talked? And the answer is a lot.
Yeah, a lot has changed. A lot has changed. And we'll talk more about it, right? As you know, when I started this podcast, the idea was to learn from experts, from the practitioners, from people who have been down this road or are in the trenches so that we can help the community with the lens of pipeline, right? So James, you know, as you know, I talked to over 100 guests on this podcast last year. And towards the end of it, it became very clear that people did not know ICP well, right? They were starting all these pipeline generation efforts, spending money on the different channels. And I even gave them 100 pennies to put it across different channels, but they did not appreciate the value of defining and refining the ICP. So let's start with that. Like, What is your ICP at TestBox? And how did you go about finding the ICP or refining the ICP? Yeah. And what data points did you put around it? So share your wisdom.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful question, right? And let's take a little bit of a step back. Last time I was on this podcast, I was still head of go-to-market. I was still new within TestBox, and we were just a couple months post-pivot. And we were really trying to figure out who we were and who we weren't. What advice I was given by a couple of very successful VCs was find a couple of really good fit customers and go find lookalike customers and go knock down those segments. And so if I fast forward to the last time, what we did is we really refined and defined and redefined our ICP. So for example, you know, we've had a lot of success in the revenue intelligence category because we are a synthetic data model automation company. So when you have a product that's relying on Salesforce data, Zoom calls, phone calls, emails, texts, you need real data to be able to tell a cohesive story in your product. And so we were able to grab some big enterprise logos in a couple of different spaces. And what we decided to do is say, okay, why is this customer a fit? Why are we doing well in this space? And we look to see is one, data is very complex. You need to have real data or synthetic data inside of these products. Two, we saw that at a company, certain company maturation, they were putting too many heads, too much headcount solving this problem, and they needed to repurpose their headcounts. And additionally, we saw that the competition was heating up, right? A lot of these spaces, right? Companies are starting to go wider on a platform play. And so what we were seeing was that there were very tight, marginal differences between these companies. We like to say that, you know, software has turned into the Olympics, right? Everything's won on an Olympic level margin. And so we saw that TestBox became a competitive differentiator for some of the companies in the space. And so we went to some of these companies that we had relationships with and said, hey, look what we're doing at this company. We should talk because we found that it's a competitive advantage. And so we actually went down this lookalike route and went vertical by vertical on a couple of different places. And we found that, you know, revenue intelligence, CDP, even financial services, even some cyber companies, we found a lot of success in these types of companies. And we became domain experts because we knew how to solve the problem. And we had to walk a very delicate line of, you know, not breaking trust of our current customers of what we're doing or what they're doing, but how we solve the problem. And because of that, that allowed us to have a streamlined go-to-market approach that has allowed us to grow 8x in you know, this last 14 months.
That is great, man. Congratulations for all your success. And that's the power of defining your ICP, knowing where to put all your investments, right? Your win rates go up and your clients come to appreciate you because you're defining not only your sales motion in the go-to-market motion, but your product for that ICP. So that's great. So since last time you were here, a lot has changed in the world of AI. Let's talk about AI. What are you
Yeah.
using in AI? What are you seeing out there? What's fluff? What's substance? And what part of the pipeline do you think AI is impacting or
Yeah.
has the potential to impact the most?
Yeah. It is really interesting, the growth and explosion of AI companies. And I think where we're starting to see a lot of usage on our side are account research, question and answer, right? I almost now rather go to a co-pilot or, then go to one of my colleagues. I get my answer a lot quicker. We're trying to use AI in terms of scoring. We also use things like Fathom for our call recordings, and it out has something called Ask AI in it. And so my colleagues, instead of me going to ask them questions, I'll go and look at the transcript and ask the AI what happened in that meeting and get the recap. And so, I think that like we've found some good efficiencies in there, but I think like many, there's still a lot of AI companies that a lot of fluff right now and not as much substance. And I think a lot of the value props feels very compelling. But in my opinion, anything that is going to be taking away from my repetitive work and making me more efficient is what I'm continuing to lean in on. Because for me, as a CRXO is my new title, I'm still out there talking to customers. I probably generate more pipeline than anyone in our entire business. I'm out at conferences. I'm also building marketing plans. I'm talking to customers. So I'm doing a lot, and I need to make sure that, everything that I'm doing is a good investment of my time. Now, what's really interesting about the AI aspect, and I'm very curious on how other folks will answer this. AI will allow me to do more, but is it hurting personalization? And I think that's what I'm seeing right now is I'm hearing and even testing companies or softwares that are allowing me to, get broader in my outreach on my message, but it really kind of lacks substance. And I think what we're seeing right now is AI can go wrong in personalization. It takes the wrong things and personalizes it, and you almost can see right through it. So we tend to not use AI in the pipe generation right now. We are using AI in lead scoring right now internally. We've created some of our own systems to be able to create scoring mechanisms, because I still think the human touch and the human outreach is going to be the ultimate winner. And in an age and a world where AI is more and more abundant, the human connection is more important than ever. And I think some people are losing sight of that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I like your take on AI. Anytime, AI takes away the repetitive work that I'm doing and do it with accuracy.
Yes.
And the second component of it is, I couldn't agree more with you that all these tools of personalization, they are good if they can work for me and give me a draft versus sending these emails on behalf of me. I worry, James, that AI is going to make what these cadence systems, the cadence systems hurt the business, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's in the cadence, everyone knows that they're in the cadence. And now you put a layer of AI, everybody's gonna say, you know what? There's no human behind it. I'm just getting. And they're gonna start putting the AI to read those emails and put them in the junk, right?
Yeah, that's a great call out, right? And like using even Gmail just started putting up summarize my inbox, right? So what does that actually mean? And I think what will be interesting is how companies break through the noise. And I think, as we go through the pennies, I'm starting to see more and more things that break through the noise. And I personally feel that the human interaction is more important than ever. Now, one thing I do want to highlight is that I think it's really hard for account executives right now to gain the attention of an executive, like a broader executive. Even in my own business, our account executives, we've trained them. They're very smart. They have a point of view, but when they reach out to a global vice president or an EVP, that EVP doesn't want to give them the time of day, right? And so that's really, really hard. And I think that's why, again, you have to be very tactical in terms of how you're breaking in, how you're using relationships, and how you're focusing on personalization and humans in a world where we're losing so much of that literally by the day.
Yeah, I think the old is going to become new again, where we
100%.
go shake hands, break breads. Well, so let's shift our gears. Last time you were here, we gave you 100 pennies and we gave you 10 different channels. Same story here, right? Again, we all have new budgets, new years, and we are all making these investments, right? So here are your 100 pennies, James. I remember from last year, a lot of your investment was on the founder-led growth, right? I would love to see how you distribute your pennies this year. The goal is the same. Your goal is to build enough pipeline, generate enough pipeline so that your business can hit the revenue goal. So with that, James, how would you distribute these pennies across these channels?
I think I called it last year as like the founder-led growth or the executive-led growth is a very, very important part of the strategy. And I would actually like to distribute 30 pennies back to that category because I think that right now that is what is breaking through the noise. There's a
All right,
lot of
let's
noise
go.
out there today.
Let's go put your 30 pennies there. You know what? I wish I had AI listening to us and moving these pennies for me.
It's a great usage of AI. I think where I'm going to actually put 2 pennies, and this is again, I'm kind of leaning in, is actually in the event-led growth. I think, what you kind of just mentioned, I've been talking to other companies where they're having success, and I'm starting to see more and more of the event-led growth. I think it's really, really important right now. People want to get talking to customers. And speaking of customers, I'd like to put, 10 pennies in customer-led growth.
Yep, this is customer.
I'll put 10 pennies in the partnership-led growth.
Partnership-led growth.
And then I actually want to put 1 penny in the sales-led growth.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
then I'm gonna put 2 pennies in the social-led group. And
Doing
that
so.
is, I think, an interesting trend right now. Just to call this out, I have been posting about, aligned go-to-market structures and org structures for quite some time now. I just did 2 posts about Agentforce and consolidated role functions. We've done 1.4 million impressions on those two posts alone. It's
Wow.
driven.
Tell me more, like what were the posts and how were you able to get, like that's a lot of impressions that you were able to get on a social post.
It is. So the first part of the post was I found out that a bunch of Agentforce account executives are former solutions engineers. That's because people worked on my team, they worked in my department, I was alongside of them, and so I saw them all announcing their jobs. And so I was like, wow, this is interesting. So I reached out, did some research. My team keeps joking with me that I broke the story of what at Salesforce did, and I wrote a post about my observation. It did 550,000 impressions in a week of like, wow, like this is really interesting. And I had a lot of insight. And so I just came out with a post in the last couple of days highlighting that, but also taking it a step deeper that, traditional orgs have been like AE sell, CS retains, customer engine or solutions engineering, scrambles. And we've had these silo org functions. And so I talked about what I think the next wave of go-to-market is breaking down the silos in go-to-market and having more accountability full life cycle and talking about, putting the customer first, which is what I think SaaS companies have forgotten what to do. And actually, it's so interesting that has driven so much traffic to my website. It's driven demo requests. It's driven followers. I've got more executives in my inbox asking me for content or asking me questions than ever before on 2 posts.
Incredible.
And so, very, very, we've put a lot of time and effort to making sure that we're delivering value to the community. Much like you, we have similar mindsets, right? It wasn't really about test box, it was about something that we believe in. And that has actually really changed where I would have put my pennies in for social because I realized, I would have put maybe 1 in there, but I'm at least putting 2 in now because we're seeing that hit and the impact on my business was just absolutely incredible.
That's
So
incredible.
that's, yeah. And it also ties into the founder. I'm obviously not the founder, but I'm an executive in the business. So.
Very close to being founder there, right?
Yeah,
Very, very close. First C-level person. So this is great. So now let's take a look. How does your investment stack up against? So this is how the community, we average the investment from the community last year, and then we are going to overlay your investments here, right? When you look at this graph here, where obviously the founder-led growth is off the charts. No surprise to you, but what stands out?
Yeah, I'm actually still surprised how much is in the marketing led and everything that I've talked about, paid social, is ex very expensive with a very light return. There seems to be a lot of safety in that type of approach. So I think that's the one that matters to me. I think community-led is surprising to me. As someone who built, founded, sold a community business, I think they've become very saturated because the market shifted and changed. And so a lot of them, not all of them, are very revenue-based now and very sponsorship-based. And so it's actually changed the user experience. And so in my opinion, pricing maybe hasn't changed as much, but the bang for the buck might not always be there. So I'm obviously a little biased based off what we're doing in our business, and based off my own experience. But yeah, this is a super interesting chart to see how different I am, per usual, I guess.
Awesome. James, thank you so much for sharing your insights. I'm sure our community is going to appreciate and take some of the nuggets, especially social. People are going to double down. And social is all about just not about asking for business. Social is
Right.
about providing the value to the community, and the value just comes back many folds over if you're being genuine.
Wonderful. Yeah, I agree with you. Thanks again so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share.
No, my pleasure. Thanks, man.